Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is...
Oh, my favorite things.
My favorite things. I have once to again. Tell you, once again, I have to tell you, Kevin and I just had a wonderful time. We went onto YouTube to look up something about song and dance and discovered... I hope song and dance isn't your favorite thing, is it?
No.
For this one? Okay, great.
I was thinking it actually could be a really good one, but Andrew Lloyd Webber's song and dance.
We just interviewed the great Richard Maltby Jr.
That's right.
Who was the director of song and dance,
which
and
so, I forgot. Yeah,
you forget,
and he helped write, you know, adapt some of the lyrics to America.
Yeah, and it's for those of you who don't remember, it's a 1986 musical with Bernadette Peters in it. And the big song, there's a couple of big songs. But
and
the, big
one, the first act is just her.
Just her.
And the second act is just dancing.
Yeah. Not her.
Not her.
And just the dancing. Big unexpected song is the big one.
Right.
And what else?
Tell me on a Sunday. Take me to a park that's covered with trees.
Yes, I was going to say.
What else rhymes with trees? Chimpanzees.
Yeah, I love, my favorite thing is what, most of my, this is a favorite thing of mine. I love when Kevin actually just talks the song.
I just like.
And doesn't really sing it. He just talks it as a monologue.
Them, you know, just to really emphasize the
acting. I don't even
like
when you speak sing it. I just like when it's just spoken.
Tell me on a Sunday.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it's just that's just how I get into the song.
That's just, so anyway, we looked up on YouTube to look up a song, and we didn't realize the whole show has been recorded.
It's there with Sarah Brightman.
It's the London version with Sarah Brightman, recorded.
And I told Rob, and I'm going to just out myself right now, you guys. there's so many jokes that I...
Kevin will not be outing himself.
No, I imagine all the people in college that were like, "Ah, finally!"
Kevin, please don't out yourself.
I'll out myself in another way. Even better, Sarah Brightman, I was a diehard fan of in college.
You told me this.
Yeah, and I just wanted to out myself to the rest of the world that it is true that I had like every album from like the late 90s and early aughts when she went to like Europop a little bit.
Sarah Brightman,
I saw her in tour.
Wham.
I saw her three times on tour.
Really? Can I ask you a question?
I'm going to tell you that that phase did end. It did end. I no longer am a diehard fan of Sarah Brightman. I appreciate her, but I do not buy every album anymore.
Did you have a crush on her? Was it just the voice, or did you have like a crush on her?
I think I did. I definitely liked her for that.
She's pretty.
She's gorgeous. I don't know why, Rob. I really don't know why. I think it has something to do with the fact that, like, I loved Phantom of the Opera when I was a kid. I don't know whatever it was about her that just did it for me with these stupid Captain Nemo, this album that she's on. It's so... If I played it for you, you would laugh. It's so weird and European, and I say that with nothing but love, but there's a pop sound. But she was like singing full on legit soprano, but with like a beat underneath it. It's like,
Didn't you tell me?
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Didn't you tell me she was like the highest paid, or she's the wealthiest?
Yeah, she of because she's still considered. She hates this term, but she's a classical crossover artist, meaning that she does legit singing like Andrea Bocelli, but she also has a market in the pop world. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying about this European, you know, producer, like it was these. She would literally sing like Nezum Dorma, but then there'd be like a beat underneath it, or like she'd sing pop tunes with her soprano voice. But yes, she is the highest grossing female classical performer.
I did not know that.
In the world.
So this was
like
your
$65 million she's worth or something.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Insane. Good. Well, let her sing whatever the fuck she wants. Right? And put a beat behind Odeus Mio. That's fine. Go for it.
Oh man. I used to God, I loved her, Rob. Oh.
Do you need a moment? Are you okay?
I think I'm all right.
I wish you could see Kevin. He's perspiring a little bit.
I'm like Cleopatra on your couch right Kevin now. Looks like... Or Jabba the Hutt. My belly hanging out. Just like, give me food.
You are
give me Sarah Brightman. I want everything.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say. She was married to Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know.
She was. So what you get is vintage Sarah Brightman, you know, pre Phantom of the Opera in this. Remember, we were talking about Song and Dance. I've lost track for a minute, but
yes.
I did get really excited when I saw that it was her starring in this production.
And it's the full production of the show.
The full thing.
On YouTube. So take a look at it.
For better or for worse.
It's not our favorite thing. What is your favorite thing?
So, getting back on track.
Sorry.
So my favorite thing is a holiday musical. Since we are in December now and we are going to be getting... And I do like to listen to...
Columbus.
I do...
Columbus Day? 1492? No, I feel like there was a musical called 1491.
Is there? I feel like you're right.
And I know it's 1492 when Columbus...
Right, sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah, but I feel like it's called 1491.
So do you listen to that musical whenever it's Columbus Day?
I absolutely... Well, the day before Columbus Day, because yes. It's 1491.
Well, the year before.
The year before.
Yeah, okay. So this is actually... I'm getting way ahead of myself, because this is actually not a Christmas musical. This is more of a New Year's Eve musical, if you will. But I kind of lump it all into the same time of year. This is a show that never played Broadway. It's a three-hander, except all three performers actually have to play the instruments, because the people who wrote it play the instruments. We have a violin player, we have a piano player, we have a drum.
And it's a holiday show?
I call it a holiday musical. Yeah, definitely. It's a live concert of the production that's on CD that you can listen to. I've actually seen it performed live by the people that did it.
I don't know what this is.
It's based on Hans Christian Andersen's Little Match Girl, which is the slightly dark. I mean, for Hans Christian Andersen, everything's dark, but it's about the little girl who has no money,
Kevin.
And she has a little mat. She's selling matches.
This
or whatever.
Isn't Daddy Long Legs.
No. And she dies basically of cold. But when she lights the match to stay warm, she sees her grandmother and has all these memories of her past, and dies literally frozen to death, but with a smile on her face.
I do not know what this is.
Okay.
What is this?
The musical is called Striking 12.
Oh, I've heard of this.
It's by a group called Groove Lily, which is made up of Valerie Vigoda, Brandon Milburn, and Gene Lewin. I think I'm saying that
Valerie
correctly.
Vigoda, for our listeners, is Valerie Bertinelli and Abe Vigoda's child.
Is it really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. I'm so gullible. God damn it.
Google Valerie Bertinelli, then Google Abe Vigoda and see why.
Stupid
that
Kevin.
Might be funny.
How dare you?
How dare me?
And it
Jeez. Sorry.
So there's a 2004 recording that PS Classics released. It's a live recording. The dialogue's all there. It's the concert, which I've seen, which I mentioned, is he very much is at the piano. Gene is very much at the drums. She's got a violin. But they take on a couple characters as they tell the story of basically it's a grumpy guy who it's the day before. It's New Year's Eve, and it's the last day of the year, and he's had a really crappy year, and his girlfriend dumped him. And he's invited to this holiday party. He doesn't want to go to the party because he doesn't feel like leaving his apartment, because he's not happy. He doesn't feel like having to put on social airs and go out and just be happy for no reason, because he doesn't feel like being happy. So he decides to stay home, even though he gets these calls on the answer machine of his friends being like, come on, the party's here. Even though his ex-girlfriend's at the party, doesn't want to run into her, that kind of thing. Well, lo and behold, someone knocks on his door, and it's a girl selling Christmas lights. quote unquote, the
match girl.
Yeah. And so she's got her little pitch and she sells it to him. And he's like, go away. I don't feel like anything. And he's like, oh, I get it. You're like the match girl. So maybe I'll buy you a thing. And so they have a little interaction. She kind of helps him turn his day around, and he realizes, like, you know, it's he goes through on the journey, I guess you could say, of this match. But the music is incredible. It is. I listen to it every single time. Every year I listen to this show, probably more than once. The songwriting trio, they went to, or two of them, I believe, went to the NYU grad writing music theater program.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe like 10 years ago. They wrote like a Sleeping Beauty musical as well. They write together. And their sound is definitely very original. It's definitely pop influenced, but it's definitely got a foot, definitely soaked in musical theater. So it's story songs, but you get really fun tunes. Make sure.
Such as.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at my notes. The Last Day of the Year, Caution to the Wind, It's Not All Right. Those are a couple songs you might want to listen to. But I would suggest getting the whole album or finding it on YouTube or on Spotify and listening to it from beginning to end, because what you get is the full story, the full show. And you get to celebrate. Everyone has that feeling of not wanting to go out, of feeling a little woe is me, the ennui settling in. And this is a nice reminder that there is life outside your apartment, and to find the joy of sometimes the holiday spirit is eluding us sometimes.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah. I can't say enough about it. I looked it up to see if they were going to be performing this year. I don't think they are.
Okay.
But I've saw them perform it live at the old, what's that big theater that Fuerza Bruta plays at on Union Square? Union Square Theater, the Daryl Roth Theater, I think.
Yeah, Daryl Roth.
I saw them perform there once, and it's... If you get a chance to see Striking 12, I can't imagine a lot of people are doing it, just because it's you have to have three actors who also play instruments in order to pull it off effectively. But it's, listen to the CD. It's fun.
How cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really, wonderful. Really fun. Awesome. I've never heard it, so I'm excited to listen to it.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I highly recommend a book for you to read
okay.
during this holiday season. One of my favorite musicals, and it's not a forgotten musical. I don't think it's a forgotten musical. Is No, No, Nanette.
I know you love No, No, Nanette.
I really do love No, No, Nanette. There's an album of it framed when you walk into the hallway.
Yep, there is.
And it's also the it's one of those shows that if somebody
it's right said, near the Yentl, yeah, and right next to the Barry Manilow. And the Follies.
Hallway is we call
it. Oh, right, 9 to 5. There is 9 to 5. That's good. Okay, great.
Did you see Robert Goulet's Wishes You Merry Christmas?
Oh yes, he does. Can you give me a little bit of that, right? What does he sing on that one, Rob?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Everybody knows. Some turkey and some mistletoe.
That phrasing was brilliant.
It's said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas to you. Hey, look me over. Lend me an ear. And that's it. That goes into his Wildcat medley.
Oh, that was really good.
Which he's very excited about.
Talk about speak singing.
That's how you phrase. Anyway, so I love No, No, Nanette. It's one of those shows that I'm like, oh boy, if somebody said, here's a cast. Right. I won't pay you, just direct it.
That's
I'd be
one
like,
of your, yeah.
I'd be like, absolutely. Free... I just think it's so fun. It's so joyous. Anyway, as you know, it was a 1925 musical. Then it had a big resurgence in 1971 when they did this revival of it. We've interviewed Lonnie Ackerman, who was in it. We've interviewed Ed Dixon, who was in that production. We've interviewed Walter Bobby, who directed... We've
sorry, Walter. We'll cut that out.
Lunch.
Oh, lunch. I'm so sorry. Well, I'm just I've cut out the disgusting carbonation. Buzz, buzz, fizz, fizz. Ooh, what a relief it is. It's Robert Goulet for Alka-Seltzer.
Oh God.
Ooh. If ever I would leave you. Thank you. That's my medley. Go easy on the horns. Don't want to drown out the voice. They're not coming for the brass. They're coming for the ass. Let's calm down on the horns, folks. Anyway, oh so there is a book that chronicles the making of the original No No Nanette and the revival. The book is called The Making of No No Nanette. Uh-huh. It's written by a gentleman named Don Dunn. The book came out
Don Dunn.
And we'll post a link.
Still in print?
Out of print. Oh. However, you can get it very cheap on Amazon for like a penny.
Oh, great.
This book... I think is so fascinating because it not only details, and I'm sure if you guys know your musical theater history, or maybe you don't, the revival of No No Nanette was fraught with tension. There was a gentleman by the name of Harry Rigby, and it was his entire idea to produce a revival of the show in the middle of the Vietnam era. So nobody, I mean, this and to cast all 1930s movie stars. Well, yeah.
And hair has changed Broadway. I mean, because now with pop, is rock sound is there. Promises, promises.
It makes no sense.
A show from 1925?
And with all these people that everyone has convinced Keeler passed away years ago. And so he's very bold and very brave. And he gets together Busby Berkeley to direct it, the great director choreographer of 1930s. Ruby Keeler, who was the star. Patsy Kelly, who was a very famous comedian. And they all come together. There's a lot of contention, though, between the producers and Busby Berkeley and Ruby Keeler. And what's really cool about the book is he flashes back and forth. He flashes from present day, which would be the 1970s, putting on the revival, back to the 1920s when they were putting on the show from the beginning. Oh. So it shows you how both musicals are getting created and both are fraught with their own individual tensions and issues. It's really funny because, you know, Ryan Murphy, who's doing that, he does every American Crime Story, American Horror Story, the Glee. Yeah. He's now doing a new show called it's called Feud, and it deals with the famous feuds in American history. The first one is going to be Joan Crawford and Betty Davis working. And I was like, you should really look at the revival of Making of No No Nanette, because it is a feud. It is a real big feud between all the producers and all the creatives. But the book is so wonderful and so interesting, and I think what's really important is, yes, it's juicy, yes, it's gossipy, but I think it's a really great archive on how musicals were created in the 1920s and how a musical was created in 1971.
Oh, yeah.
Then if you read the book and then watch something like Show Business, that great documentary, and see how musicals are created in the 21st century, I think it's a really nice way to have an archive of exactly how something was created that wasn't really recorded a lot. There was no real diary of this is how things got on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So my recommendation, it's a book. It's The Making of No No Nanette by Don Dunn, published in 1975 and available on Amazon.
And I love knowing that, you know, we hear from Lonnie that, you know, like Dom Dunn would have a tape recording, but not everybody knew that they were like, he was like tape recording stuff, like in producer meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it is not just like oral account, but it is, he was there.
I mean, they gave him unfettered access to everything. And they thought,
you imagine that today? Please.
Are you kidding? That wouldn't be happy. Way. And he also got to sit down and interview Irving Cesar, who was the lyricist on No No Nanette.
Right.
Or composer. Oh, no, forgive me.
Vincent
Yeomans. Yes. So, and he would sit and tell him all the stories. It also talks a lot about Ruby Keeler's life, why she was a big star, why she left the limelight. Right. So it's very detailed, and I think it's such a great account of how a musical is created, because there really aren't a lot of those. There's that, and there's Making It Big, which tells the story of you know, how big the musical from 1996 got on.
Oh, really?
But there's, yeah, there's,
and then the Follies one that Ted Chapin.
Oh, then wrote. Ted's Follies book, yeah.
And then I'm thinking of, like, you're right, and like Diary of a Mad Playwright, but that's, oh, the, that's not a, James that's Kirkwood, just a, that's, yeah, a play.
So it's a handful. So we don't, right, get this a lot. No, we don't get this a lot. And with Ted and James, is they were actively involved on those productions.
Right.
The Big and the Nanette, it's from a more objective.
Moon Over Buffalo.
Or a Moon Over Buffalo, the documentary. That, yeah, was another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great one.
But that's not a book. But, yeah,
but that's still a great one. So anyway,
it's fun to see the background. It's, yeah, fun to see what goes on behind closed doors.
Especially how musicals were created in the 20s, because that's not talked about so,
no,
much.
No, we don't, yeah, get that at all.
So mine this week is The Making of No No Nanette by Don Dunn.
Fantastic. Mine is Striking 12. The Little Matchbox Girl musical.
Awesome. Take a listen, take a read, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, everybody.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but, yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.